Hello, Gallatin Valley. You're listening to KGVM Bozeman on FM 95.9. This is Dr. Nurse Nancy welcoming you to Body Politic, a program about how our ability to control what we do with our bodies and what happens to our bodies shapes our life experiences. Today's show focuses on surrogacy. Surrogacy refers to a situation in which a woman carries a fetus and gives birth to a baby for someone else. When the baby is born, it is the child not of the birth mother, but of another person or people, the intended parents. I became interested in this topic when a friend of mine who lives in our valley told me that she had decided to become a surrogate for some friends of hers who also live in Montana. That struck me as such a monumental decision and also as such a gift to this couple that I wanted to do a show on surrogacy. I'm pleased to say that my friend is happy to be interviewed for Body Politic, although for her privacy and that of her family and the couple involved, we won't be using her real name. So I'll simply say, welcome, friend. Could you please start by telling us as much as you feel comfortable with about your own background and what you think even allowed you to consider becoming a surrogate?
Sure. I was, you know, I have four children of my own, three that I carried and delivered biologically, and then my fourth is adopted. So I've always kind of wanted to... I've always wanted to be a mom and have a large family. So it's always been difficult whenever I have known people that have struggled with infertility and have been unable to carry children of their own. So I've always kind of thought about it, and I've offered to be a surrogate before for another couple I knew, and we didn't do that. And then I kind of looked at companies that worked with, you know, surrogates and matching couples and surrogates. And so I kind of went through that process to do that. And I,
so you were, you were actively in a way seeking opportunities to be a surrogate to help other people.
The first time I offered it, no,
okay.
It was, kind of a natural thing. And then after that had happened, I kind of thought about it more. And then I was seeking out an opportunity, but you have to be, 38 or younger to be a surrogate for a lot of the companies out there. And so while I was in the process of going through their, all their stuff, I aged out of their, you know, program.
Yeah, their criteria.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. And so I hadn't really thought about it, anymore. I kind of figured that that was done and over with, and then had a friend who was going through some issues and problems and had been, working with a doctor for 8 years, and she had multiple transfers of embryos and of sperm, and was unable to carry a pregnancy. And so when she was telling me about all of that, I offered to,
you offered again,
be a surrogate for her.
Well, so yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, and you know, and went through a lot of different, we had a lot of conversations and talking to, you know, my family and her talking with, her husband. And we have gone through, we each have our own attorneys. We actually have a contract, a binding contract. And, we're in the process of trying to get pregnant.
So you don't, you're not going through an agency, but you still would definitely recommend that both parties involved have attorneys to help spell out what's expected, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, there are tons of little tiny laws, and it really is to protect, well, we all have friends and we all know people, and you just never know what's going to happen. So for both her and for me, it really is the best option to have a contract and have attorneys involved.
So how do you deal? I mean, having a baby is not cheap. How do you deal with the financial stuff?
So, the family that I'm being a surrogate for, they're paying for all of my attorney fees. They're paying for, all of my expenses outside of, so when you are a surrogate, most insurance companies will pay for your birth, for your pregnancy, your prenatal care and all of that. And then also for the birth. So my insurance will cover me being pregnant, just like if it was my own child. And then, and so she'll pay all of the out of pocket expenses, the copays, all of that kind of stuff. She'll pay all of that. And so really there's no expense to, there should be no expense to me, related to all of the doctor's appointments and.
But it's not, this is not something that you're obviously doing for financial gain.
True. I'm not doing it for financial gain. So going through the companies that do surrogacy, you know, whenever I was in that contract, it was gonna, I was going to be paid $35,000 to $65,000 to be a surrogate. I am not, because I'm doing this for a friend, I'm not, I'm not getting paid that much money. We are doing a small fee along with it. Mostly because it's really interesting. People have a lot of opinions about this.
And I bet.
When I told people I was going to do this, and the few people that I said that, oh, I was just going to do it for free, they kind of thought I was crazy. And so we settled on a $5,000 fee, and which is a lot different than $65,000.
Yes, indeed.
And then she's paying for all of the, her and her husband are paying for all of the expenses. And if I were to need, you know, a few maternity clothes items, that kind of stuff, they're going to take care of all of that stuff.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. So listeners may hear, I don't know, it sounds like the sound of cutlery and just various background noises. And to me, one of the most amazing parts of this, your story and your family and this whole situation, is that your family has been very much involved in this, and they're actually there with you in your kitchen as we're talking, right?
Yes, they are. Some of them are. They're kind of in and out, but yes.
Okay. So how did you approach talking about this with your family?
Well, because I'd kind of talked about it before, it was an easy conversation. The one I was most worried about was my daughter, who's eight. And funny story about it, when I was talking to her about it and asking her if she kind of knew what surrogacy was or any of those things, I kind of explained it to her. And she said, oh, like on Friends, Phoebe had a baby for her brother. I said, yeah, that's true. That's exactly what's happening. So who the life lessons would come from Friends?
Well, you know, it's funny, though. I didn't even know that about Friends. I guess I must have missed some seasons. What I remember is Glee, when Rachel decided to carry a baby for, I can't remember their names, Kurt and Blaine. Yes. And that's about what I know about surrogacy.
Yeah.
So that's really amazing. So you live in a small town. Your pregnancy is going to become visible at some point. What do you plan to tell people? You sound so straightforward about this and justifiably proud about this that I'm guessing this isn't going to be a big problem for you. But what are your thoughts about it?
Yeah, I'm not afraid to talk about it openly and let people know. You know, obviously, if it's a stranger that's coming up and asking me, oh, when are you due? I'm not probably going to go into the whole story. But definitely people I know, even acquaintances. I mean, people, like you said, in a small town, they're going to notice that you're pregnant. They're going to notice that you're not carrying around a baby afterwards. So I'm not really worried about talking to people about it. Just be open about it. And I'm not under any, I don't think everybody's going to view it favorably. And I don't think that everybody will keep that view to themselves. So, and I'm okay with that. It's okay.
Now, I know that you're involved with your church. Any conflict there or completely compatible with your own spiritual views and that of your religious community?
Yeah, I'm completely it's completely compatible. And I've actually talked to my pastor about it, and her only concern is for me, for the emotions and all of that come with it. And so, quite a few of my church family already know about it. They know that I'm mm-hmm. in the process of doing this.
Mm-hmm. So are you pregnant yet?
I don't know. Possibly.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
Congratulations either now or soon. So are you having an embryo implanted in you, or is it partly, will you be genetically linked to this child also?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I will be genetically linked. It is amazing, the cost of surrogacy. So if you are getting donor sperm, it's about $1,200 per vial.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're getting a donor egg, it is thousands, up to $10,000 to do that. And so most often it takes more than one or two tries to become pregnant. And so you can see how that would add up really quickly to not be feasible.
Right. So basically you go to the gynecologist's office and they insert donor sperm, and then mm-hmm. you wait and see.
Yep.
You wait and see. Yep. And then how long does it, it's been quite some time since I was having to worry about this. So how soon can you tell if you're pregnant?
So they do the sperm transfer, and they ask you not to take a pregnancy test any sooner than 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
So okay. 14 days after okay. the transfer, you can take the pregnancy test. Okay. So it's approximately about the time that you would be if you were going through your natural menstrual cycle. It's about the same time that you'd be starting your period.
But have you had to take any hormones and that kind of stuff, or this is just the natural process?
Just the natural process. I haven't done any hormones. Mm-mm.
Okay. In the past, have you enjoyed being pregnant?
I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
I mean, I don't hate it. With my first two, I had some really horrible morning sickness that lasted more than morning.
Mm.
And with my third one, though, it was kind of a walk in the park. So
nice. Yeah, the outcome was worth it.
The outcome was worth it, yeah. And obviously, I didn't hate it so much after my first one.
You would have stopped. So. Okay. Well, let me just say to our listeners, if you're just joining us, this is Body Politic. I am your host, Dr. Nurse Nancy, and today's program is about surrogacy. And we are talking with a friend of mine who really made me admire her and surprised me when she told me that she had decided to become a surrogate for another Montana couple. And so we are talking about that. What are your biggest fears about this process? These may not be your biggest fears, but I'm thinking, how's it going to feel when you hand this baby over? But uh-huh. overall, what are your fears about this process? And then we'll get to your hopes.
Well, I mean, my ultimate biggest fear is that something really terrible will happen while I'm in labor. So that's the ultimate fear,
yeah.
But
happen to you or the baby.
True. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was the second part?
Well, I'm wondering, so this is not just an embryo from a donor egg and a donor sperm that you are carrying for 9 months, which would be a major, major, major thing in and of itself. This baby is going to actually have half of its genetic material is going to be yours. And yet mm-hmm. you are surrendering this baby when it's born. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are about that, and what kind of arrangements you all have thought of and perhaps made about contact, etc. after.
Yeah. So I have four children, and I'm at the point that I would like to be, not that I think I'm old enough, but I would like to be a grandma.
Okay.
So I'm at the point where I'm not wanting to have children. I'm not wanting to have babies. I'm not wanting to do all that. I've done that. I've been there. This is an opportunity to allow somebody else to do that. And so we've kind of talked about that. I will be an aunt. We'll keep in contact. They'll invite me to birthday parties and graduations and all that kind of stuff. And I'll be a part of the baby's child's life. But we're not expecting, I'm not expecting for, to be involved in major decisions, all of that kind of stuff. This is their child. And, I'm looking at it as I'm just babysitting the child for 9 months and then giving it to the parents. Who knows what will happen whenever I'm in the delivery room. I'm sure that it won't be easy. There'll be emotions. There'll be, hormone induced emotions.
Yeah.
And so I'm not under any kind of, I don't think that it's not going to be hard. I do think that there will be some difficult emotions. But
will the baby
overall,
know, will the baby know that you are the birth mom?
Yeah. The baby will know that. Yep. Yeah. We're planning on having a completely open conversation. And like I said, with our daughter, you know, I really think just keeping things open and having those conversations from the beginning is going to be much better. You'll have a better relationship and openness. So the baby will know everything. You know, it's too difficult to keep those kinds of things secret. And then when you do, then people feel betrayed. So that's not something that we plan on keeping quiet or any of it. So we'll be open about all of that.
You know, I was born in Hawaii, and I'm not Hawaiian, but in Hawaii, there's a practice that's very common. It's called hanai. Very, very often, someone will have a baby and it just won't be the right time for that person to be the parent. And so the child will become, it's called the hanai child of someone else. It might be another woman. It might be a couple. There's no formal adoption involved, but the child grows up knowing who its birth parent is, who its birth mom is, but identifying as parents, the people who raise the child. And it's a very, very common, I think it's common enough that it's not sort of fraught with this thing of, you know, why somebody didn't want me, or this is really weird, or any of that stuff. And it sounds as if in some ways the arrangement you all are talking about is not unlike the hanai arrangement in Hawaii.
Well, that sounds really cool. I've never ever heard of that. I need to make sure that I let my expected parents know about that.
Oh, I will
look it up.
I will definitely be pleased to share that information. So let me ask, this is the people you're giving it to, or the people who are the intended parents, they are a couple, as I said, here in Montana. This is such an amazing gift. I think I know the answer to this, but would it have mattered to you, do you think, if this couple was a heterosexual or gay couple?
It wouldn't have. In fact, when I was working with the surrogacy company, that's what that was one of the, you know, boxes you check. Would you carry a child for a same-sex couple? And absolutely, it doesn't matter to me.
That's wonderful. I'm glad to hear it. So, were you going to say something? Oh, okay. So we talked about biggest fears, and I can understand that, you know, that something would happen in the delivery room. Talk to me about your biggest hopes for this, you know, for the child, for this couple, for you, for your own kids, etc.
Well, my biggest hope is that, you know, this couple gets to have a child of their own and get to experience all the things that comes with that, especially since they've been trying so hard and wanting it so much. That's really my biggest hope, and that I can join their journey as works for me and my future and for them in their future. And my children all know that technically this will be their half brother or sister, and so I would like to keep an open relationship so that they're not ever wondering what happened to my half brother, my half sister. So that's my biggest hope, is that things go well, healthy baby is born, and we've even talked about, as well as everything works, and as long as there's no complications and stuff, to even in a couple of years do it again, and if it all works out well, so that they can have another
with the same couple. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome. So
yeah, because
go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, one baby, you need two babies. You got to have a brother and sisters, you know, so they can fight and do all of those things that normal brothers and sisters do.
Well, and you might mention how many you had.
Right.
A lot. And you're still
a lot.
Right? You had lots of brothers and sisters, and you're still close with them.
I have between all of the marriages and stuff, I have 9 brothers and sisters. Yeah. So there was a little bit of sibling rivalry going on in my house. Yeah.
Well, okay. So speaking of families, I should say that I knew you when you were basically doing 2 jobs in 2 different towns. And of course you had your kids and all that kind of stuff. And I said, how can you do all this? And you said, because I have the best husband in the world. I don't know if he's in hearing distance.
He is.
I think he is.
You told my secret.
Oh. So could you just talk a little bit more about the importance of having that kind of family support?
Yeah. I'm the type of person that is do things, and I want to experience like life and things in general. And so he's kind of used to my crazy spur of the moments. I'm going to do this next. And so he supported me through all of those things. And when I came up with this one, he didn't really, I mean, I wouldn't say he's like gung-ho, like, yeah, let's do this. But he definitely is supportive.
Okay. Well, I think you have answered the questions that I have for you, and that I think people listening will want to know, and I so appreciate it. Before I guess I have maybe a couple more small questions, but I would definitely offer the opportunity for any of the people there in the kitchen with you, your husband or kids, if any of them want to weigh in, I would welcome that, and I would just say no names. Is there anybody who wants to add anything about their how they might be feeling about this future half brother, half sister, etc.?
Does anybody want to? Does anybody want to comment? I'm like the extrovert surrounded by introverts in my family, so it looks like we've do you want to talk about how you feel about me having a baby for somebody else? Well, come here.
Hi.
Hi. My name.
So how do you feel about?
My name is Willow.
Hi, Willow.
And how do you feel about me having a baby for somebody else?
I'm all right with it, but mm-hmm. I want to love it, so I want to keep the baby.
You want to love it and keep it?
Yes.
Yeah. How do you feel about visiting instead of keeping?
No.
Yeah.
It's still okay, but...
It's still okay.
Okay. Well, it sounds like when the blessed day comes and then the transition happens, everyone will probably have some feelings about it, but it also sounds like it's going to be good.
Yeah. It's tough to not have feelings.
All right. Well, I guess the last question that I have for you is, if there are other women out there who are considering becoming a surrogate, either for a friend or through an agency, what, if any, words of wisdom do you have for them?
Well, my experience so far is it's front loaded, so I'm not exactly, I'm sure I'll have all kinds of things to say about it after I carry a baby and give birth, that after that transition, I'm sure that there'll be quite a few thoughts and feelings about it. Right now, I do want to say that it wasn't just I jumped in blindly. I had done research. I kind of knew what was going on. And I think having an attorney watching out for you, the attorney had a lot of ideas and things that we had never thought about, if the intended parents were to die while you were pregnant,
oh boy,
you know, what are you going to do? If this happens, what are you going to do? So there were a lot of things, because they have dealt with this legally, many times, they had a lot of insight that we would never think of. So having an attorney is definitely a good idea. Having an actual contract is a good idea. And make sure you're researching it. There are a lot of things out there.
Oh, I'm getting a little interference. I'm losing you. But I did hear some of your pearls of wisdom. I think especially because we are having possibly some technical difficulty, but also because we are coming to the end of this half hour, I just want to say that I'm so pleased that you could be with us. I appreciate your forthrightness. Not to mention that of your family, being willing to participate. And for listeners, you have been listening to Body Politic. I'm your host, Dr. Nurse Nancy. We have been talking today about surrogacy.